of 19... Maxwell House Coffee presents Good News of 1940.
Edward on, ladies and gentlemen, and once again I welcome you to an hour of good news brought to you by the makers of Maxwell House Coffee and starring Fanny Bryce, Hanley Stafford, Connie Boswell, William Gargan, Benny Rubin, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. And our guest of the evening, a young lady with beauty, talent, charm, and all the other things it takes to make a picture star, Miss Virginia Bruce. Now, if Meredith has something suitable, we can start the program, eh?
Okay, Ed.
Well, now, wait a minute. You mean you're not going to pester me to introduce you to Miss Bruce?
Ain't necessary, Ed. Miss Bruce and I have had the pleasure.
Oh, I see.
She's been on the program before, and I was looking up in my diary last night just to see the dates. Would you like to hear what I said about her when she was on before, to diary?
No.
Well, I got it right here.
Please, Meredith, be musical, will you?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, our opening number is entitled Let's All Sing Together. You may join in if you wish.
You know, Meredith, if I weren't a very patient man, I could easily get annoyed at you.
Well, what of it?
Oh, I think I better hold on to myself. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Bruce will appear later in a dramatic sketch, but right now I'd like to have you meet her in person. Virginia?
Thank you, Eddie. Hello, Meredith.
Hello, Ginny. Long time no see.
That's right, Meredith. I haven't been on the Good News program since last spring.
June 12th, 1939. And before that, it was April 23rd, 1939. And before that, it was January 12th, 1938.
Oh, what a memory.
No, Virginia. He got the dates from his diary.
Oh, Meredith. Have you got it here?
Uh-huh.
Oh, how I'd love to see what you wrote about me.
Would you really?
Yeah, would I?
Okay. I turn to the entry of January 19th, 1939. Dear diary, guess who was on the program tonight besides me?
Does the diary ever answer?
Not yet, but I've only been keeping her 14 years.
All right, go ahead.
Tonight's guest star was... Oh, gee. I forgot I wrote this.
What?
Oh, I can't show you. I'm too shy.
Oh, Meredith. Come on, be brave. What did you say?
Well, tonight's guest star was my dream glamour girl, VB.
VB.
Well, how do I know who's liable to pick up my diary?
Yeah, you can't be too careful. Did you add anything to that first entry?
Well, just a couple of X's.
Oh. Oh, now you got me blushing. You'd better skip to the next day.
Okay, April 12th, 1939. Dear diary, tonight's guest star was her again. My beloved VB. And then some more X's.
Oh, that's awfully thrilling. Well, what about the third time?
Yeah. Let me see. That was June 3rd, 1939. Here it is. Dear Diary, tonight's guest star was once more my glamour dream, the one and only R.S.
R.S.? Why, Meredith Wilson, you fickle man, I'll never speak to you again.
Well, gee, I don't understand how that could have happened. I don't...
Never mind explaining. Goodbye, M.W.
Well, jumping sassafras. I must have got the wrong date or something. Now, how can I square this one?
There ain't no way to square that one, Meredith. You better just drown your sorrows in some pretty music.
Okay, Connie. From now on, I'll devote myself to my art.
Now you're getting smart. Ladies and gentlemen, my first song is a new one called I've Got My Eyes on You, and I think it's going places. I've got my eyes on you, so best beware where you roam. I've got my eyes on you, so don't you stay too far from home. Incidentally, I've set my spies on you. I'm checking on all you do from A to Z. So, darling, just be wise. Keep your eyes on me. I've got my eyes on you. So, honey, best beware where you roam. I've got my eyes on you. But don't you stray too far from home. Incidentally, I've set my spies on you. I'm checking on all you do from A to Z. So, darling, just be wise. Keep your eyes on me.
And now here's Warren Howell with a vivid word picture that takes us back more than 50 years to the days when Joseph Jefferson and Madame Modjeska were the reigning stars of the American theater.
In fancy, we're attending a brilliant after-theater supper at the famous Maxwell House in Nashville, Tennessee, at the close of Madame Modjeska's tour of the Old South. At candlelit tables, we see crinoline ladies and handsome gentlemen dressed in immaculate evening attire. On all sides, we hear praise of the evening's performance. But before the supper is over, the conversation changes. And from a nearby table, we hear...
Martha, have you tasted this coffee? It's so rich, so mellow. It must be a new blend. I'll ask Colonel Overton.
Yes, half a century ago, guests at the Maxwell House discovered coffee that was richer, more delicious than any they had ever tasted before. They learned it was blended by a man named Joel Cheek, and that he had named it Maxwell House in honor of the hotel. Friends told friends about this wonderful blend, till finally the fame of Maxwell House coffee spread across the length and breadth of America. And today, more people are enjoying Maxwell House coffee than ever before in its history. Today, you will find Maxwell House in more stores than any other coffee in America. Why? Because this famous coffee is actually richer, more delicious, more downright satisfying than ever before. If you haven't tried Maxwell House lately, you're missing the matchless flavor of a wonderfully improved blend. You're missing true, natural coffee goodness brought to its peak by the uniform, radiant roast process. Yes, 50 years of experience have packed a lot of extra flavor and satisfaction into that familiar blue can. So try a pound today, won't you? Discover for yourself why today this famous coffee is now, more than ever, good to the last dot.
Thank you. now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. Tonight, Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, is in an awful dither. The tax returns for his firm must be made out, and he finds his books are not in order. As the scene opens, Daddy is working on his accounts, trying to make them balance before the boss comes to pick them up. Listen.
Now, this can't be right. Shortage of over $3,000. Better check those assets again.
Hello, Daddy.
Oh, I'm looking for assets, and in walks a liability.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. Snooks, I must ask you to leave this room at once.
Why?
Because I want to be alone.
Say it again, Daddy.
I want to be alone. What are you laughing at?
You sound like Rita Grabby.
Never mind that. I have important work to do, and I demand absolute privacy.
What are you doing, Daddy?
You can see I'm up to my ears in charts and figures. That only means one thing.
You're doubling the horses.
I'm not doing anything of the kind. I'm trying to get my books back in shape.
Those big square ones?
Yes.
What shape were they before?
Round with filled edges. Now, don't start anything, Snooks. I feel bad.
Why?
Because I just discovered an enormous discrepancy in my aggregate.
Let me see it, Daddy.
You can't see it. It's nothing you can put your finger on.
Does it hurt that much?
It'll ruin me if I don't find it.
Ain't you found it yet?
No.
And how do you know you got it?
I just looked on my debit side and found an increment.
Let me put my finger on it.
Oh, don't be silly. It's the growth on my debit side that's causing the hole on my credit side.
You're really sick, ain't you, Daddy?
You can say that again.
You're really sick, ain't you, Daddy?
I heard you the first time. I'll be still sicker if I don't get straightened out.
Shall I call the doctor?
I don't need the doctor. All I want is a little cooperation from you.
Me?
Yes.
Which eye shall I operate on?
On the outside. Snooks, haven't you got any homework to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go and do it.
I don't like to do it.
Well, pretend you like it.
No, I'll pretend I've done it.
I don't care what you do. All I want is privacy. I'll leave my presents.
I ain't got your presents, Daddy.
Oh, stop it. Now, let me have a look at these expenditures.
I didn't even know it was your birthday.
It's not my birthday.
Then who gave you the present?
Nobody!
Snooks,
you simply must leave the room.
Why?
Number one, I must balance these books. Number two, my boss is coming here. Number three, you're going to do your homework.
Number four, you're going to help me with it.
Number five, I am not. Number six, seven, eight, nine, and ten, you're getting out of here.
Number 12, 14, 96, 9.
Now, what's going on here?
Let's play some more, Daddy.
I'm not playing. You don't seem to understand, Snooks. There are times when a man simply must work.
Why?
Because I've got a wife and children.
Why?
So you're beginning to wonder, too, eh? I've been asking myself that question for 9 years.
What's the answer?
If I knew, I wouldn't have to work for a living.
You're dumb, ain't you, Daddy?
Now, that's none of your business. I made my bed, and now I lie in it. And it's got nothing to do with beds and lying. Does that answer your question?
I didn't ask you nothing.
Well, don't. I don't want any interruptions for the next 15 minutes. Understand?
Understand.
Now, where's my petty cash journal? Here. Oh.
What's in it, Daddy?
Oh, records of trivial expenditures, like postage stamps, paper clips, ink.
And your salary?
Yeah. No! Go and do your homework.
You help me with it.
I will not. If I keep on doing your homework, you'll just wind up a big dunce.
That's what my teacher said.
I certainly. I did your whole arithmetic lesson for you last week, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did it get you?
A zero.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean?
Remember I asked you how much was $1 million?
Yes, I remember.
Well, a heck of a lot ain't the right answer.
It's still the right answer as far as I'm concerned. If I had it, I could tell my boss where to go with his broken-down job.
There.
Never mind. I'm still $3,000 short, and you're not helping me find my error.
Well, you ain't helping me do my homework.
I can't help you now. I'm in a terrific jam.
I want some jam.
Oh, what's the use? What is your homework? I'll rip it out for you in 10 seconds.
It's geography.
Okay, okay. Hurry up and give me the questions. Get a pencil.
All right. But I ain't got no paper.
Oh, take any paper. Now, first question, what is the equator? Answer. The equator is an imaginary line that runs around the Earth.
Who let him out?
Who lets who out?
The NASA imaginary lion.
I didn't say menagerie lion. I said imaginary line. It means non-existent. Nothing. Put it down.
Put nothing down?
No, the answer.
Well, what's the answer?
I just told you. The equator's an imaginary line running around the Earth everywhere equally distant from the two poles and dividing the Earth's surface into two hemispheres. Got it?
Uh-huh.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
What did I say?
I don't know.
I thought so. Second question. If you were to drill a hole through the center of the globe, where would you come out?
Answer. Out of the hole.
No. They want to know which country. Now, what's the shape of the Earth?
Round.
How do you know it's round?
All right, it's flat. I don't want to argue.
Well, it is round. Now, look. Here's the globe. I start to dig a hole here at the top. Where do I come out?
At the bottom.
I know at the bottom. But which country? Suppose we start in America. Now, dig a hole.
All right.
Why did you stick your pencil into the globe?
I dug a hole.
I didn't want you to dig into this globe.
Why?
Oh, never mind. You start digging in America, you come out in Australia, I think. Now, put that down.
All right.
I must be right, because the next question's about Australia. Australia produces more sheep than any country in the world. Name the members of the sheep family.
Charlie, Tommy, Louie.
No, no. What's the father sheep called?
Daddy.
It's called a ram. The mother sheep is you.
Me?
Not me, you.
Is you the mummy sheep?
Yes, you is the mummy sheep.
I thought you was.
You is.
I thought you is.
Well, nobody's arguing with you. The daddy sheep is called a ram, the mummy sheep is you, and the baby sheep is a lamb. Put it down.
I got it.
Well, what have you got?
You the mummy, ram the daddy, and lamb the baby.
Okay. Well, the rest of the questions are simple. You take them and let me finish my work.
All right, Daddy.
Oh, wait a minute. Where are you going with my books?
To finish my homework.
But I need those books. I have to show them to my boss.
I gotta show them to my teacher.
What on earth for?
I've done my homework in them.
You what?
Smart.
You little...
Meredith Wilson, his orchestra, and the Maxwell House Chorus present a charming arrangement of a new popular song based upon Edvard Grieg's Norwegian Dance No. 2. It's called A Little Boy and a Little Girl. I think you'll find it delightful.
Oh, excuse me, Edward.
Bill Gargan, how are you, Bill? Glad to see you again. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Edward, I venture to question the propriety of adapting the classics.
Why don't you be yourself, Bill?
I beg your pardon?
What's all this highfalutin stuff about propriety?
Well, all I know is this, Edward. The composer Grieg put into that song originally certain musical values which cannot be transmuted into the base metal of popularity through the alchemy of Tin Pan Alley.
I pass.
Understand, Edward, I'm not setting myself up as a critic. I'm willing to listen to the thing before I make my final judgment.
That's very sporting of you, you know. Sit down.
Oh, now, don't take it that way.
Oh, there you are. Oh, pardon me, Mr. Arnold.
And here's that Reuben character again.
Thanks. Hiya, Bill.
Oh, very fit, Benjamin. And you?
I'm okay. I just came to return a book I borrowed.
Which book is that?
The one you lent me. Immanuel Kant's Critique of Pure Reason.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
If this is on the level, I quit.
Oh, pay no attention to him, Benny. We're going to sit in judgment on a song adapted from Grieg's Norwegian Dance No. 2.
Oh, a lovely composition. Where are we set?
Right there. Go ahead, Meredith. Let's go.
Upon my word, the story I've heard belongs in the pages of a book.
A little boy,
a little girl,
were telling little secrets in the moonlight.
Teeny-meeny, nothing, just meant for two.
Lots of little giggles and blushes too, but they never knew a little brook beside the nook would babble and their love would be an open book. The brook told the birds told the bees buzzed the farmer in the dell.
The farmer told
his wife told the world, now there's no one left to tell. Well, the little boy,
the little girl,
have built a little cottage.
cottage on a hill.
And they have two kitties called Jack and Jill.
Heard it from the brook who just won't keep still. Let us find the brook that brought them every joy, and maybe you can be the girl.
And you can be the boy.
That was A Boy and a Girl, a popular tune based on Grieg's composition and Norwegian Dance Number 2. Very good, Meredith. But let's hear what that apostle of culture, Bill Gargan, and his friend Benny Rubin have to say about it.
Benny?
Yeah, Bill?
Before I commit myself, I'd like to hear your reaction.
Well, Bill, I ain't qualified to say because I'm already on a bias.
Well, enlighten me.
Well, I object to the tampering with the classics.
A fella traveler.
Yeah.
Benny, you're a man of discernment.
I can't stand it, Bill. Monkeying with masterpieces. Oh, my reverie.
Yeah, a travesty on the bussy.
Yeah. And look what they've done with that moon love.
Yeah.
They take a beautiful symphony, switch the legatos to staccatos, camouflage the scherzo with a veneer of rumba, undermine the codas with a conga movement, and what do you wind up with?
A shag.
Oh, them ghouls. What an insult to Tchaikovsky.
Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. 1840 to 1909. Moon love.
I can rest you assured. I can rest you assured that ain't what Pete had in mind. I just bought a new shirt. That's what's the matter. Yeah, got on my mind.
You're right, Benny. You know what this country needs?
Certainly. Education to the masses.
No. That's for the hoi polloi. I was thinking of something more specific.
Well, enlighten me.
This country needs a society for the prevention of people that give great works the works.
That's good. If there's no dues, inscribe me as a charter member.
You gotta have dues.
Well, in that case, I'm in sympathy, but unable to join a movement. I belong to too many clubs already.
Yeah?
Oh, sure. I'm sergeant at arms for the Burl Heights Chess and Thinking Association.
Oh.
I'm secretary of the Red Hook and Fishing and Debating Club.
Say, you sure belong to a thespian society back home?
Yeah, I use. You sure?
Sure I use. The Dramaturgical and Interpretive Forum. You sure belong to that?
I was the head interpreter.
Oh.
You know why I quit the club?
I don't recall, no.
In 1932, they're going to put on A Midsummer Night's Dream by Shakespeare. And I was going to play Oberon.
Moyle?
No, Oberon, the king of the fairies.
Oh, I can picture you in the role.
Oh, thanks. I wiped in a pot and I was blue in the face. But I never got to play it, Bill.
Well, what happened?
Well, two nights before the opening, nepotism reared its ugly head.
Nepotism.
Yeah.
Ah, them dames will do it every time.
No, Bill, you misconstrue. Nepotism is when the president's cousin gets the best part in the show.
Oh.
See, a certain fellow by the name of One Lefty Kelly. Do you recall?
I recall. The guy was a bum with no talent.
A well-weighted but flattering description. You know, our entire production was sacrificed on the altar of commercialism. Jeez.
So Lefty Kelly played the part of Oberon.
Yeah, but only because his uncle owned a dress shop and made him a fairy suit.
Oh. It's things like that that make you want to give up the arts.
Yeah.
Say, how was Kelly's performance as the king of the fairies?
Bill, in the words of Eugene Field, Kelly played the king as if he's afraid somebody was about to play the ace.
Gee, I'll bet the bard turned over in his grave.
He's spinning yet. Oh, but you should have seen Act 2, Scene 3.
Oh, yeah, in Titania's garden.
A breathtaking scene, but them guys turned it into a fiasco.
Oh,
it should have been beautiful. We had 16 little girls supposed to dance around like butterflies.
Yeah, I recall. While Titania's making love to the jackass.
Yeah. Precisely. Well, at the last minute, the butterfly wings for the kids didn't show up. What do you think they'd done?
What?
They sent the butterflies on as caterpillars. Oh, it makes my blood boil.
They ought to ban them clubs. Reuben, we got to start that society.
Which one is that?
Like I told you, the Society for the Prevention of People That Give Great Works the Works.
Deuce or no deuce, I'm a member. Where do we start?
Well, we start with a boycott.
Yeah.
No member of this society shall attend a production of Hamlet in modern dress.
Hamlet in modern dress? Are you referring to the melancholy dame?
I ain't referring to her sister.
I still don't comprehend a modern dress. Enlighten me.
Well, I seen such a production about a year ago. Now you tell me, what was the costume of the Denmarks in that time and place?
Black tights, jerkins, and flowing togas.
Correct.
Thanks.
And in this production, what do you think Hamlet was wearing?
Oh, don't tell me.
I'm going to tell you. A blue herringbone sports coat with corduroy slacks.
Oh, them vandals.
I burn likewise.
Yeah?
But the climax of all was when Ophelia made her entrance in a Max Tur play suit, $14.95.
Oh, great heavens. The next thing you know, they'll be casting Romeo and Juliet with jitterbugs.
Oh, perish the thought. Such beautiful language going to jazz.
Perish the thought.
Oh, that Shakespeare. Oh, he really plumbed the depths of human emotion. Say, do you recall the balcony scene in R&J?
R&J? Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, I recall. The wife of a titan.
Two lovers, forced by destiny to part. Gee, I can shut my eyes and hear Juliet's voice when she says, "Wilt thou be gone? It is not yet their day. It was the nightingale and not the lark."
It was the lark. The herald of the morn, no nightingale.
Your light is not daylight. Your...
Bill, excuse me, but I got to intrude here. I think the part of Juliet is in the wrong hands.
Well, that was just caused by emotion, Benny.
I think we'll do better in invoice positions. I continue.
Your light is not daylight, I know it, I. It is some meteor that the sun exhales. To be to thee this night a torchbearer.
Go ahead, Bill.
Benny, don't think this is nepotism, but as Juliet, you are definitely miscast.
Oh, that hurts. Now, I got a feeling for the part.
Yeah, but it's a rotten feeling. Now you'd make a much better Mercutio in A Merchant of Venice.
Well, if I had the costume...
All right, fellas, come on, break it up. That's about as much Shakespeare as we can stand tonight. In fact, it's too much Shakespeare.
Too much Shakespeare? There ain't no such thing.
It's a sacrilege.
Come on, breeze, fellas. Breeze.
Ah, the man's a Philistine.
A boor. Come on, Bill.
But soft.
What light through yonder window breaks, yeah. Oh, Warren.
Yes, Eddie.
The moment's at hand.
Right you are, Eddie. Time to invite our friends all over the country to join in our famous Thursday evening custom. A moment of relaxation over a steaming, fragrant...
cup of Maxwell House coffee.
Right, Virginia Bruce. It's nothing new to you, is it?
Of course not, Warren. Maxwell House is a daily custom at our house. And right now, that wonderful fragrance in the air. Well, don't keep a lady waiting too long.
Perish the thought, Virginia. Here's your cup right now. And here's yours, Connie. Yours, Eddie.
Thanks.
Cream? Sugar?
No.
And friends, wherever you are, we hope you, too, are making ready to enjoy with us a cup of the coffee that's now, more than ever, good to the last drop. And with it, we give you the music of Meredith Wilson. Pause briefly for station identification.
This is Edward Arnold again, and we continue our Good News Maxwell House program. You will hear Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks with Hanley Stafford as Daddy, another song from Connie Boswell, Bill Gargan, a dramatic sketch in which I will have the pleasure of playing opposite Virginia Bruce, and Meredith Wilson, who presents now The Boulevard of Broken Dreams. My pleasure to present our charming guest, Virginia Bruce in Purple and Fine Linen, written by May Eddington and adapted for Good News by Robert Riley Crutcher. Will you set the stage, Meredith?
The scene, the entrance of a large New York hotel. A well-to-do Westerner, played by Edward Arnold, comes out of the hotel. He pauses a moment to watch the traffic, then starts off down the street. He is followed by a shabbily dressed but attractive flower girl, played by Virginia Bruce.
Flower? Will you buy a flower, sir?
No, not today.
Oh, please. A fresh gardenia for your buttonhole.
I'm sorry.
But it's my last one. Please, please buy it.
Well, very well. But stop following me, will
you?
Oh,
thank you. Let me pin it on. There. There you are. And thank you again. You don't know how much it means to me.
Oh, yeah, boy, boy.
Harold, mister?
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, I gave her all the change I had. Yeah, can you break a dollar? Say, my wallet, my wallet.
Oh, what's the matter? You forget it?
No, no, I didn't forget it was right here in my coat pocket. That girl with the flowers, where did she go?
Hey, ain't that hog getting in a cab?
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. Go ahead, stop her, will you? $500 for what could the God mean you?
Taxi?
Yeah, I've been waiting for you to come back. About 2 hours ago, you picked up a girl here, remember? Shabby black dress, stringy hair, no hat.
Yeah?
Well, where'd you take her?
Around the corner.
What?
Yeah, to a beauty shop. She had me wait. And boy, you should have seen her when she came out.
Never mind. Where is she now?
I just dropped her at one of them classy dress shops over the avenue. And boy, is she got the shape for one of them rich...
All right, all right. Now get me there as fast as you can.
Oh, is there anything I can do for monsieur?
I'm looking for a young lady that, Oh, wait. I believe, Yeah. There she is in that evening gown.
Is she not beautiful? She's wearing one of our loveliest imports.
Expensive, I'm sure.
Oh, very.
I don't want the old things. I'll wear these.
Oh, hello.
Oh.
You surprised?
It's you.
Yeah, obviously. Well?
I don't know what to say.
Well, I'd have been here sooner, but I was delayed. I couldn't find my wallet.
Will there be anything else for madame?
I think not. Madame is late for an engagement, aren't you? May I take your arm?
Please, let me explain.
Oh, madame, I almost forgot your change. $10.
What, only $10? I'll take it. Madame does not like to be bothered with small change. I have a cab waiting. Come on, let's go.
Where are you taking me?
Have you any doubts?
Police station.
Come on, get in.
Where to, sir?
Straight ahead. I'll tell you when to stop. Didn't think I'd catch you, did you? You thought I was just a prosperous Westerner at large in a big city.
Hmm? Won't you give me a little time?
I have a feeling you'll receive a great deal.
Oh, don't turn me over to the police now. Just give me 3 hours. And then I don't care what happens. Will you do that much for me?
Squeezing my hand this way won't help you, you know.
But what are 3 hours to you, and they mean so much to me?
Look here, what is all this about 3 hours?
At 9 o'clock, I want to go to a house on Crescent Drive. That's all. I must see someone at 9 o'clock. It's taken so long, and I'm so near now.
Well, I'm afraid they'll have to come and see you.
Oh, please, please. 3 hours is all I ask. After that, anything you like.
Yeah, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You don't spoil that new makeup.
But I beg you.
What, to let you get away from me now? You must take me for an awful fool.
But I won't escape. I promise. You can keep me inside all the time.
Huh?
I'll be your prisoner.
Well,
please,
I...
Please, just 3 hours.
You want till 9 o'clock?
9:30. Please, please.
Well, I don't...
You'll do it?
All right. I've nothing else to do. I'll give you until 9:30.
Oh, thank you. You don't know how much it means.
Yeah, the last time you said that, I lost $500. Well, what do we do now? How does one entertain a pickpocket? Hey, would you like a cocktail?
I don't think I'd better. I haven't had anything to eat today.
Well, then to dinner, huh? We should get some use out of our new evening gowns. How about the Waldorf?
Very well.
It doesn't seem to impress you.
It doesn't matter, just so the time passes.
The driver, the Waldorf. We'll have some, some caviar, borscht, sole, turkey, nice salad, and some champagne.
Very good, sir.
The warden always feeds the condemned.
Condemned?
Yeah, you're going to the police station in exactly 2.5 hours.
I'd almost forgotten.
Yeah, rather frivolous, huh? But at least you're not morbid. Why meet your troubles until you come to them? Would you like to dance?
No, thanks.
Oh, don't be afraid. You know, you're beautiful. And in that gown, you look right in place here.
I've been here before.
Oh, so. Do you see many of your friends around?
Yes. There's Grace Donovan. I remember her debut here. She's probably married now. And there's Elizabeth Mills. I wonder if that can be her baby daughter, that tall thing.
Well, let's just go over and say hello. You know, I'd like to meet some of your Eastern society.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, come on. I want to meet them.
Oh, but you see,
It won't take a moment to introduce me.
Well, I haven't seen them for such a long time.
Well, surely they remember an old friend.
Well, I've been away so long.
Oh, I see. Traveling, no doubt, huh?
Yes. Traveling everywhere. Nice, Cannes, Rome, Paris. Vienna, Budapest.
Go on, go on. I'm interested.
Perhaps I would like to dance.
But I'd much rather meet your friends.
Well, they're not really my friends now. Not after what happened.
Oh, I see. And what did happen?
You wouldn't believe me. I know you wouldn't.
I'm sure I wouldn't. But we still have 2 hours to kill. What happened?
I left my husband. I thought I was in love with someone else. No one ever forgave me for that. Least of all him.
And who's him?
Walter Manning.
Walter Manning? The steel man?
He's my husband. Or rather, was my husband.
Good. You know, I admire a woman with imagination. There's nothing small about you. You aren't married to Tom, Dick, or Harry. Oh, no, no, no. You were married to Walter Manning. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. You were saying what?
That was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I hadn't a friend left. Even my family would have nothing to do with me. And Walter was a very revengeful man. He did everything he could to hurt me. Hounded me year after year. He wouldn't let me forget. I had nothing left, so...
So you took to picking pockets?
Tonight was the first time.
Very nice work for an amateur, aren't
you?
I
was desperately in need of money.
You simply had to have an evening gown.
Well, I couldn't go back as I looked this afternoon.
No, I thought you said he didn't want to see you again.
Well, he doesn't. I'm going there to see my baby. My daughter, Carol. It's been 4 years. 4 years since I've held her in my arms. And tonight I'm going to see her.
Well, where you go, I go.
Oh, must you?
I wouldn't miss this for anything.
You don't believe a word I say.
I'll pay you the compliment you deserve. You're a good actress. Tell me, are you frightened?
Of what?
Prison.
Oh, no. What happens to me after my 3 hours are up doesn't matter. All that matters is that I'm to see my baby. And that she'll see her mother looking as I do now. Oh, I'm so happy. Can't we go now?
Yes, of course. You know, I'm curious to see how you're going to get out of this.
What'll I say first? What'll she say? He must have prepared her a little. He must have. I wonder if she'll know me. Year after year, I've written begging to see her. But he didn't even bother to answer. That was his revenge. Agony, the torture I went through without her. He knew how much my baby meant to me. But he wanted revenge. I've always thought he hated and despised me and would never forgive me. But this afternoon, he phoned and said I could see Carol for 5 minutes at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Here's the house. I won't be long. You wait here.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm going with you.
Oh, but you...
I'm not taking any chances.
Very well. Come into the house with me if you insist.
I do insist.
Oh, Mrs. Manning.
Mrs. Manning?
Won't you come in? Mr. Manning is expecting you. Mr. Manning asked that I show you into the next room.
I'll wait here.
Carol! Carol, darling!
May I take your coat, sir?
No, no. Tell me, does Mrs. Manning have a daughter?
Carol? She did have.
Did?
Miss Carol died yesterday morning.
Died? Yesterday morning? What Mr. Manning called today and told her she could see the child tonight.
But I don't understand, sir.
I think I do. That man deliberately called her, and I understand it all right. That was the lowest, rottenest, most contemptible idea of revenge any man ever thought of. What kind of a man is he? If I could only get my hands on him, I'd...
Oh, she's gone. Everything I had to live for. Oh, I wanted to see her again. I wanted to see my baby again. To hold her in my arms. To see her laugh. To listen to her voice. And now she's...
Mrs. Manning, if there's anything I can do...
What can anyone do now?
No, come on. We haven't much time.
Time. Oh, time. I forgot. I'm your prisoner.
No, no, no. Not my prisoner. I won't add to your troubles. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to make you happy. You know, I got a little ranch out west. It's got a nice little house on it, and I want to show it to you. It's one of the nicest little places you ever saw in the world.
This is Bill Gargan, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to say that I think Miss Bruce and Edward Arnold gave a splendid performance. Congratulations, Virginia and Eddie. And now, America's favorite singer of popular songs, Connie Boswell, sings Does Your Heart Beat For Me?
Though we said goodbye, when the moon is high, does your heart beat for me? I wonder if I still linger in once used to be. When you're lonesome, my sweetheart, does your heart beat for me? Does your heart
Beautifully done, Connie Boswell. Beautifully done.
Say, Eddie.
Yeah, Warren.
Eddie, here's a letter from a fair young admirer of yours who wants to know how old you are.
You tell her I'll be 50 next Sunday. <All right. laughs> Just tell the young lady I'm old enough to remember the day when every grocer kept a Cracker Barrel right next to the wood stove in the middle of the store.
And when you ordered coffee, you had to stand around and wait while your grocer weighed the coffee, ground it in his mill, and bundled it up in a paper bag.
Yeah, that may not answer the young lady's question, Warren, but it certainly emphasizes how conveniently and quickly she can buy Maxwell House coffee today.
Yes, Eddie. Conveniently, because more stores sell Maxwell House than any other coffee in America. And quickly, because Maxwell House comes all ready to be picked up and carried home, already packed and ground by modern, scientifically controlled methods in these two ways. Regular grind Maxwell House for percolator or coffee pot, and drip grind Maxwell House for any type of drip or glass coffee maker. Pound after pound, the same unvarying precision to guarantee the same uniformly perfect results. And each pound packed in the super vacuum can with all that wonderful Maxwell House flavor and fragrance sealed in. None wasted. So friends, when you're busy shopping tomorrow, save steps, time, and trouble. Save an old-fashioned chore at the grocer's. Your nearest grocer carries Maxwell House ready packed in that famous blue super vacuum can, your guarantee of rich, deeply satisfying roaster fresh coffee that's now more than ever good to the last drop.
To sing every week for the last 6 weeks.
Seven.
I don't care if it's 40. You can't sing on this program.
Why?
Because you don't sing well enough.
Why?
Your voice isn't developed yet. It'll get better as you grow older.
Oh. Daddy.
Yes?
When is my birthday?
Oh, it's not far off. Why do you ask?
I want to know when I have to start being good.
That's a fine thing. You should always be good.
Why?
Because nobody likes naughty girls. People like to see children well-reared.
Ain't I well-reared, Daddy?
Yes, but sometimes you misbehave terribly.
I'll say she does. She needs plenty of disciplining.
He's here again, Daddy.
Now, listen, Meredith. Since when do I need your help in raising my child?
Boy, you sure need somebody's help.
I didn't do nothing.
There she goes with that bad grammar again.
There's nothing wrong with her grammar.
There's nothing wrong with my grandpa, either.
You keep quiet. What are you hinting at, Meredith?
Well, she just said I didn't do nothing.
Well?
Well?
Well, where's your G, young lady?
G, I didn't do nothing.
That's better. Satisfied, Professor?
No. How is she in arithmetic?
She's as good as you are. Ask her anything.
Okay. Snooks, here's the problem. Suppose I lay 2 eggs on the table, and I lay 2 eggs on the piano, and I lay 3 eggs on the floor. Well, what are you laughing at?
I don't believe you can do it.
Oh, come on. I'll school you at home.
Goodbye, Mr. Wilson.
That child is an illiterate if I ever seen one.
In the concert hall tonight, Meredith Wilson presents another group of the world's most beloved melodies from musical comedy. We hear favorites from Sigmund Romberg's beautiful score to The Student Prince.
are bright as stars when they're shining on
drink
me.
To them.
Drink, drink, drink to lips that are red and sweet as the fruit on the tree.
Drink to them.
Here's a hope that those bright eyes will shine. Lovingly, lovingly, soon into mine. May those lips that are red and sweet tonight with joy my old lips meet. Drink, drink, right from the start. May young hearts never part. Drink, drink, drink. Let every true lover salute his sweetheart. Let's drink.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're happy to announce a special preview of the new Columbia picture, The Lone Wolf Strikes Back, bringing to the microphone Warren William, Eric Blore, Iris Meredith, and an all-star cast. This, of course, in addition to our regular gang, Fanny Price as Baby Snooks with Hanley Stafford as Daddy, Connie Boswell, Bill Gargan, Benny Rubin, and Meredith Wilson and his music. I think it'll be a show that you'll want to hear. So until next Thursday, this is Edward Arnold bidding you all good night.
This is Warren Hull reminding you that leading grocers are now featuring Maxwell House coffee at new low prices, prices the most modest budget can afford. Now more than ever is the time to make friends with Maxwell House. And now, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's now more than ever good to the last drop.
I've Got My Eyes on You is from Broadway Melody of 1940. This is the National Broadcasting Company.